Okay, let me jump on over here to my opening monologue, and I'll tell you guys once again that Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of the ground across our overly broad listening area. Southern Immediate Care in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham region, they are epic good at what they do. And Southern Immediate Care will see all ages. They're open 7 days a week. They actually have late hours, too, by the way. And I would encourage you, check them out. They are the sponsor every day of the Right Side Way monologue. All right, let me jump on in here, and I'll ask you this. Have you ever been around someone that just could not read the room? You know what I'm saying? Someone who was talking about something, not realizing that the words coming out of his or her mouth are not drawing the reaction they were going for, but they are so into themselves that they cannot see that the crowd is turning on them. There's a word for that, or words. Maybe there's many words, but I'll just go with one name for what I'm talking about today. Tone deaf. Absolute tone deaf. People who are so blind to the fact that they are not resonating with their audience, and yet they persist in saying the most inane, insensitive, inept things. Now, at some point, you may have heard me talk about my first car, my 68 Mustang. Man, it was my first love, my four-wheel baby. We sometimes had a love-hate relationship. Yes, it broke down. Yes, it was temperamental at times. Yes, the engine caught fire once. Yes, it decided to leak radiator fluid all over the parking lot at the car show in front of literally everybody in the world. But yes, it was cool. And yes, I drove it all through high school and college. And yes, it really looked good, sounded good, came off the line like a scalded dog, and I never even found its true top end, though I tried. And yes, I asked Charlene to marry me in that car. But the day came when I had to let my baby go so that we could afford to pay for our first real baby. It was life, you know, it was the adult thing to do. I still hate it, but I don't regret it, but it was also a somber day. So I cleaned it up, I had it tuned, I ran an ad in the paper, and a guy called and said he'd have the money there the next day. He was going to be out of town, he said, on business. But his mom and his brother would come and pay cash for it. Full asking price. So that day I waited, and sure enough, an old truck with a good old boy and his mama showed up. Brother went over to inspect the car in the driveway while mama came up on the front porch and got down to business. Now, she was a rather large, unkempt woman with a mustache. It was South Alabama in August, and she was sweating through that large blue muumuu and fuzzy house slippers that apparently she was as comfortable going out in public in. I told her about the car's history, about how much it had meant to me. I told her that I was looking for it to have a good home, hoped her son would love it like I had. And then she proceeded to regale me with all the reasons why she felt like her son was throwing away good money for old junk. She told me it weren't no use in buying an old car, just a waste of money, she said, with all the superiority she could muster. She said it despite the look that I know came over my face. And she didn't stop there. She knew things. And whatever she knew about life came right out of her mouth, whether anybody wanted to hear it or not. When brother shouted up to the porch that we were standing on that, "It all looks okay, Mama," she said, "Well, I'm guessing you won't get paid." Well, up to that point, I hadn't noticed that her muumuu had no pockets. She wasn't carrying a purse. And then, to my abject horror, she says, "I keep the money where ain't nobody gonna find it," which I'm pretty sure was the only really true thing she said the whole time. And I kid you not, she unsnapped the top of her muumuu and reached down and fished around in her sweaty inner layers and brought out a roll of sweaty bills. And when I say sweaty, y'all, I mean it. The money was actually damp. I remember reaching out slowly and kind of pinching that wad of bills carefully between one finger and thumb and just looking at her like she had three eyes. "Ain't you gonna count it?" she asked. "No, ma'am, I think I'll just take your word for it." A few minutes later, I stood there with my squishy money, and I watched my baby drive away. Well, I tell you that story because I still can't believe how tone-deaf she was, how absolutely insensitive to the person on the receiving end of her words. I had just finished telling her how much that car meant to me, the memories that came with it, my hopes that it would bring her son some joy, and all she could think of was to say demeaning, degrading, and disinterested garble that did nothing to win me over at all. Nothing. Ugh. Okay, well, that's a story for the telling, but it's one thing when some average Joe or Jane says something out of school and doesn't meet the moment the way they should have. But it's entirely another when a leader does it. When someone who's been called or appointed or elected to a position of authority, you would expect them to have some tact, some measure of diplomacy, some ability to understand the times and speak to the issues of the day in a way that does not alienate their audience. I mean, you would expect, rightfully, that leaders will not be so full of themselves and their own deeds and own needs that they just take the stage and immediately evidence that they are just flat out tone deaf. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines tone deaf as, quote, having or showing an obtuse insensitivity or lack of perception, particularly in matters of public sentiment, opinion, or taste. Well, this past weekend, President Biden took the stage to deliver a decidedly obtuse, insensitive, and ultimately tone-deaf commencement speech at Morehouse College in Atlanta. I don't know if you've seen the clips of this. Morehouse is one of the nation's HBCUs, the historically black colleges and universities. So Joe Biden took the stage and he was met with a very tepid response. There were some protesters there. And then there was some faculty that unfurled the flag of the Congo, of all things, and decided to stand up behind him and hold up the flag of the Congo for the whole world to see while he spoke. But there was a moment, nonetheless, though, when the leader of the free world had the microphone and he had an opportunity to congratulate young men and women on this milestone of life they were in, right? These kids are graduating from college. Their whole lives are in front of them. A time for encouragement? A time for maybe some exhortation? A time to tell them the world looks forward to their success post-college? Nope. Joe Biden went full-on mama in a moo-moo. He stood and gave one of the most racially divisive speeches in recent history. Race baiters give speeches here and there, but when has the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, stood up and told a group of young Americans that their country actually hates them? When has that happened last? Because that's what tone-deaf Joe Biden did. At one point, he even invoked George Floyd from the 2020 timeframe, because that was sure to set the right tone. Here's what he said. You ready? Quote, you started college just as George Floyd was murdered, and there was a reckoning on race. It's natural to wonder if the democracy you hear about actually works for you. What is democracy? That black men are being killed in the street? Well, it went downhill from there, y'all. He went on to say this, to some very lukewarm applause, by the way. He says, what is democracy? This is the President of the United States, by the way. What is democracy? The trail of broken promises still leaves black communities behind. What is democracy? You have to be 10 times better than anyone else to get a fair shot. Most of all, what does it mean? As you've heard before, to be a black man who loves his country, even if it doesn't love him back in equal measure. I mean, who does that? Who wrote this speech? Imagine showing up to your commencement after years of working to earn your diploma. Some of these kids likely had parents who were there who had sacrificed to give their child a leg up in the world by paying for college. Some had worked to earn scholarships or incurred loans or worked side jobs to pay their tuition. Now's the time when it all culminates and you get that piece of paper you can hang on the wall, show the world you can accomplish something and you can achieve and you can succeed. And the President of the United States of America, the leader of the land of the American dream, comes in and just rains on your parade by telling you you are a victim. And that your country doesn't really love you because of your skin color. I mean, for the love, has anyone ever been more tone deaf? Joe Biden's made a lot of gaffes over the years. He has. But this was a planned speech. They went into it with the intent to say these things. Y'all, he's a huckster and a jokester and a yarn teller, but he couldn't read the room. He didn't notice the spindly little golf claps he was getting. He just stood there in his moo-moo and ignored the needs of those to whom he was invited to speak. You tone deaf much, Joe? It was awful. Absolutely 100% tone deaf. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, it was a crying shame, man. I mean, that's the time when these kids deserve actually, to be encouraged. When parents who put them through school and fought to keep them in school and encouraged them to do the things necessary to graduate with high honors expected to hear somebody say, here's all the things you're going to accomplish. The world is your oyster. And no, what they got was, your country doesn't even love you because of your skin color. What an asinine thing to do. How tone deaf can you be? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.